Welcome to the podcast series of Family Insights, powered by the Orthodox Christian Network and Family Life Ministry. We welcome Paula Marchman, Managing Director for the Metropolis of Atlanta Family Life Ministry, and Eleni Alexiou, Managing Director for the Orthodox Christian Network.
We've been doing a lot of these podcasts and been getting a lot of positive feedback from all over the country and the world.
Whoa, thank God.
Absolutely. It's interesting that I think a big part of all this has been everyday relationships. So what that means is in your family. And what we said when we first sought out to do this was, let's talk about the day-to-day things that we don't really talk about within our own families. The clinical aspect is there. If someone needs to see a counselor, that's something that someone needs to do. But the everyday piece of what it means to love one another, we are doing that.
Yeah. I call it boots on the ground.
Yeah,
I'm working
absolutely.
On a marriage workbook, a marriage module.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be traveling in September, God willing, throughout the metropolis of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a marriage workshop on Saturdays
wow.
in our different communities.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finishing up all the material and the workbook. So
mm-hmm.
I like to call it boots on the ground.
Right.
You know, walking
yeah.
through day by day. It's the little things that matter, right?
Yeah. I had a client once, I remember, saying, I want my marriage to look more like Christ.
Yes. Christ-centered marriages. That's what we're talking about here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, it's been like probably 25 years ago now. Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. I'm
mm-hmm.
sure you've heard of it. It's gotten a lot of popularity the last few years. Now there's five love languages for teenagers and
right.
et cetera, et cetera. And it's gotten popular because I think people are hungry. They're looking for, you know, what are we missing here? You know, I'm doing all these things and, you know, my husband doesn't appreciate it. Or, you know, I bring her flowers all the time and, you know, she's still complaining. You know, you don't show me love. And it was more about, you know, there is a love language. And
mm-hmm.
we all receive love differently. And what he did is he kind of grouped it into five categories.
Right.
You've heard Gary Chapman, right? Five love
yeah.
languages.
Absolutely. Breaking them down is what everybody needs. I mean, I think there is anybody that can relate with them and break them down into the different categories. Do you want to go through them?
Yes. And then I want to know, what are your love languages? Which ones are yours?
Easy enough, right? I've done this as a therapist.
Well, why don't we start with one of yours? What's one of your love languages?
Acts of service is big for me.
Oh,
just
yeah.
to be able
Number
to
one.
Have somebody simply do things that would look different than your everyday.
Acts of service is one category. So
right.
what does that mean to you?
So someone going out of their way to show me, you know, something like, for example, taking the kids to camp when I normally would take one of the kids to camp, or taking something out, like taking the garbage out. It's those simple little things that you don't have to ask for. That's what we always tell the kids even. If no one asked you to clear your plate, you picked it up and you moved it, that's something even more deeply. So
yeah.
it's the small little acts that you don't have to ask for that, to me, show the strength and then show the peace of love.
Okay. So one of your love languages is acts of service, which
yep.
is, hey, quote, actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely.
I don't
yeah.
need to hear I love you, I love you, I love you, but baby, when you empty that dishwasher, I know you love me because you know I don't like emptying the dishwasher.
Yeah, mine's the laundry, but yeah. What's your number one?
Well, acts of service. But I would say the second one, and the older I get, the more important this is to me, is quality time. And I hear that from a lot of the couples mm-hmm. in marriage, especially women. Couple time. I love it when my husband chooses to be with me instead of maybe watching the football game, or he is a diver at the aquarium. Say, you know what, Friday we have off. I'm not going to go diving. I'm going to go diving another day so we can spend the day. So the older I get, I need more quality time. That is showing you love
mm-hmm.
me. because you're choosing me. Even if it's 30 minutes of, hey, you know, I'll sit and watch that program, even though I don't like it very much. I'll sit and watch it with you, Paula, because you laugh and you enjoy it. So I'll
right.
be there with you.
Yeah.
So quality time, a biggie for
That's
me.
That's a big one for you.
Yeah.
That's great. I want to take a step back because some people that are listening, they may have not read the book yet. So let's go through the five languages, what the names are even. I
okay.
think that's something that might be important.
All right. So we talked about acts of service,
mm-hmm.
which are actions speak louder than words. When you do something, when you serve, acts of service is a way you receive love. Now
mm-hmm.
we're talking about receive love.
Quality time.
Giving mm-hmm. your spouse or the person you love undivided attention, and that's important. Okay, what's the third one?
So words of affirmation. I
yes.
often find myself something really simple as if I'm making my husband his lunch, if he doesn't go out, for example, I'll stick a little note in there, or I'll stick
yeah.
like a sticky note, just expressing how you love somebody, but through actually either saying it or writing it. That's something that I think a lot of people, you just go on your daily routine. That's something really simple that you could do. It takes 2 seconds out of,
yeah.
you know, out of your life to write down, love you on a note, or stick it in a lunchbox, stick it on the mirror. We're big fans of sticky notes, even though I think our kids take them and stick them wherever they want. It's still something that
okay.
I find is something really easy to share love.
So you're talking about words of affirmation, spoken
mm-hmm.
praise, appreciation,
yep.
And in a consistent way, where it's not once in a blue moon, but it's every day.
Yeah, the word that you don't want from your spouse is, what's this about? But
yeah.
you know, it's just a nice thing to do. It's a nice words of affirmation. It should just be a nice gesture that's
yeah.
accepted on the other end.
Someone who really needs that, and that's their love language.
Mm-hmm.
They even say that women love to be cherished and loved. They love "I love you," where men and women both love to hear, you know, "I appreciate that," or "I respect you. I respect you for, you know, going out there every day and working, even if you don't feel good." So words of affirmation, you have to know what exactly, which ones really mean something to your spouse, if that's their love language. And probably as humans, we all need praise and appreciation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
yep.
that rolls into the next one, physical touch.
Yeah.
It's obviously, you know, an emotional power that everybody knows about, but even from a baby, you know, I think that's something that in order to feel loved, you have to be physically touched as well. It's something that just clearly communicates everything to each other and to your mate.
Yeah. Especially I find when I do couple therapy, men, that's like one of their top two is to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, even as couples and, you know, mother, fathers to children, the sense of touch regulates us. It regulates our heartbeat. It calms us down. It grounds us to, hey, it's okay. And so even a hand touch, a hug, right, or reaching for someone, you know, those are really, really important. And like we said, it is a love language, but also, again, it is a human need to be touched. You know, that's
Absolutely.
Why they say a lot of older people suffer so much from loneliness. A lot of it is because they're not touched.
Right. We actually, I could share a recent story about that, too. Not too long ago, when my father-in-law passed away, we had asked my mother-in-law to come in and help us with the kids every so often and be with us and stay with us. And so, you know, everybody needs that level of physical touch where someone might be going through a bad day or just a difficult moment. And making sure that grandma's also taken care of and what she needs, too, that's something that we've just balanced out for everybody. But I can tell you that if you know someone well enough, whether it's your spouse or a family member, you know when they're going through a difficult time. You know, it's just a matter of sometimes of bending over or on your tippy toes, either way, and just to give someone a hug. Half the time, it alleviates the problem. Half the time.
But, Eleni, I have to say, you need to be careful because some people, for many, many reasons, different reasons, do not like to be touched. They have that boundary of
space. That is a good point.
Yeah, you're too close to. And so it's important to know how it is received.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely, to have that figured out ahead of time. Absolutely.
Yes, to know that. So, you know, there's that, what do they call that, personal space, that boundary?
The boundary,
and
right.
It depends the relationship, right?
Right.
So that's what we're talking about. I think I'm talking more about husband-wife, and you're talking more in general as parents and part of a community. But still, and all of that is important, but how does the person receive love? And how do you receive love, right? A lot of times we think about, oh, well, this is how my husband or my wife feel loved, or my children. And yes, that's important, but it's also important to know what is our love language? Like I asked you from the get-go, what's your number one?
And I'd also add not to assume that you know what the other person's is.
Yes. Or how about this one? Not to assume that your love language is their love language.
Right. To figure that out very early on in your marriage, if we're talking about husband and wife. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And to know each other's, and to be honest. We're missing one, though.
Fifth one. Oh, receiving gifts.
Right. I personally, it's not one of my top five. It's probably my last one. But every so often, it does put a smile on my face, and my husband brings me home flowers for no reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see them, it does mean a lot.
Yeah, it's not one of my top five, but, you know, about a month ago, I told my husband, you know, because we're not real big on gift giving for anniversaries, birthdays, and so forth. And I said, you know, it might not be such a bad idea. I mean, we don't have to give big gifts, but just, hey, I was thinking about you. I went by and saw this little $5 pair of earrings, and I thought, God, that looks like you. It's just the thought that counts kind of thing. For some people, gifts is very important in their love language. Usually I find, though, it's not anybody's top two or three. I haven't really met anybody who's receiving gifts is your number one. I'd love to hear from the listeners if anybody's number one is receiving gifts and what that means to them, because I really haven't met anyone that's their number one. But yes, receiving gifts is definitely a love language. And again, it, depending on the season, your age, you know, sometimes it's more important than others, is all I'm saying. So if your love language, you know, my love language 10 years ago was not receiving gifts, well, it's moving up the ladder, honey, as I get older. We
absolutely.
Change, right?
We both change. So what's an activity that we can give to our listeners today to talk about what their love languages are with their spouses or their significant others?
Okay. So make a long, you know, or sheet of paper and write self. And then on another sheet of paper, write spouse or each child or, you know, whoever you want to do this with, even if, you know, your fiance or whatever relationship, maybe your mother-in-law and you. And write, what are my love languages? Put them in numbers of importance to you, priority, and then list, if you're doing your spouse, your husband or your wife, list what you think,
yeah,
their love language, and then go to them and say, hey, look at this activity. And in fact, we can post this little activity that I'm using in the marriage module. If you want to, I'll send it to you, and you can post it with this podcast.
Yeah, and we love people to share and to comment and share it with their people. So many times the feedback that I've received, too, is that was a great resource. Where did you get it from? Where did you find it? How can I get it? So, yeah, we'll definitely do that. And I think what I want to add to that activity is simply that you don't want to just I've met and worked with a lot of couples that will just write, one person will write it down, and then the approach of how you bring this to somebody, if you want to do this. If you're not doing it by yourself to write down your own, but you want to share interactively, you got to either let them listen to the podcast or have a conversation about what this means and what you're hoping to get out of it and why you want to do it.
Yes. Expectations, right? What are your expectations? Communicating, hey, I need to know what your love language is, and I need you to know what my love languages are.
No, otherwise it's like walking up to somebody on the street and just asking them, you know, do you know what your top love languages are? That's going to be how the other person receives it, if they don't know what's behind it.
Well, yeah, but we don't want to be two ships passing in the night.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be able to connect, and the world goes really, really fast. So let's talk about it.
Absolutely. I have actually a funny anecdote story to that. We were on our date night last week, and my husband's, we were sitting outside, weather's beautiful, and he says, okay, I see three people that we know. What do you want to do? And we are constantly, you know, inundated, and it's one thing to say hi, but I think there were some extra chairs at our table. And we both looked at each other and said, nope, this is our quality time. Let's just keep focused on what we've got right here. And that's what we both agreed to do for that moment.
Yay. Date night, right?
Yeah. And so we didn't, you know, in other times we would have both got up, said hello, do you want to sit down for a drink, just sit down for a cup of coffee? You know, we would have done that. But this was our quality time that we set aside, that's one of the things that are important to both of us. So we did it.
So setting boundaries around how we receive love, how we give each other love, and making that a priority of I want to know you, and I want you to know me. And there's too many relationships in the world we live in that have wedges between them, you know, and walls. And this is kind of tearing down a little bit of the wall and going, I want to see you, and I want you to be able to see me. A little vulnerability, a little openness, but that's how we receive and give. Well, this was fun. I love talking love languages.
Just to really close out, there's a lot of pieces of what we talked about today that God inspires us to love. You know, listen without interrupting, speak without accusing, answer without arguing. These are all things from the Bible that we need to practice every day and kind of bring ourselves to understand and to be able to speak with those that are around us what we need and to communicate what they need too.
The Lord says love, you know, love God first with all your mind, your heart, and your strength, and love one another. And if our arms are folded and we're protecting our heart and we're closed off, it's kind of hard to love anyone that way, right? So we have to open up our arms a little bit. And go make your list of your love languages and work with your spouse on his. It's a fun activity, actually.
Thanks for listening and joining us. We'll be back every other week to fit into your busy time schedule. You can find us at myocn.net and at Family Life via the links below. This program is brought to you by the Callas Foundation, Family Life Ministry, and the Orthodox Christian Network.